Welcome in to in-game chat. Checking my audio levels here because I'm a little worried about Pega. No, we're good. All right, that's good. That works, I think. Anyway, welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, February the 8th, 2025. It is Season 19, Episode 5. I'm Scott.
Dan, I'm RJ.
More so than it being Episode 5. In the overall situation of things, welcome to episode 800, the big 800, or Boo, if you will.
Mm-hmm. That's more fitting.
Boo.
Yeah, Boo.
Yeah, Boo. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, welcome in. 800 times of doing this. I think for the 1,000th, I'll just do a montage of episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, and then call that a show that runs for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Welcome in, everybody. If you would like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 272-9228, when it works. Well, you can check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can also find us over on Facebook as well. In fact, did your post go through? Did you post what you did?
It went through, yeah.
Yeah. RJ posted something on our Facebook page. We've got a post on our Facebook page that's not a show description. It's something new. What did you post?
It was a clip from my gameplay of Sniper Elite 3.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't understand what happened here.
I'll have to go take a look at it.
Yeah.
I was just there on her page helping you out, and I didn't even stick around to take a look at it.
Yeah.
I did that. I don't know if it was... Is 3 the one that takes place... Excuse me, 3 is Africa.
3 is Africa, yeah.
You're right.
In the desert,
yeah. excuse me. 4, I think it was in 4. I think 4 was the one that I did a montage of that you can find on our in-game chat page of, the bullet cam shots back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
Of all the different ones. Fantastic. Love those. So anyway, welcome in. Yes, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, or we have X, or... Yeah, Blue Sky, those. We're all over them. Email everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv and search for In-Game Chat. You'll be able to find us there and watch the show live while we broadcast. Our mugs on your computer screen. Just a smiling. Not really. But you can do that and join in the chat room, which we got folks in the chat room hanging out there right now as well. AC Wraith, always a pleasure. We got Lethal Migraine there, Bama Brian. Hanging out as well. How many years? Well, I mean, they've been doing it for 15 years, and we're currently in season 19. You know? AC Wraith was talking about Game Hounds, which is another gaming podcast type thing, that they're only on 772 episodes after roughly 15 years. We had a while there where we were doing it every other weekend, once a month.
Yeah.
Over at my house.
Mm-hmm.
You guys would drive in, and, you know, whenever we decide to do one. I think it was we did one every other weekend. We didn't do it every week.
Yeah, we really didn't have a set schedule back then.
We didn't. We also didn't have a studio. It was just my living room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, And so, yeah, we had our times where we weren't doing them, you know, as consistently as we are now. There was, you know, the whole of 2020 with the pandemic and everything, where things got all sorts of thrown out of whack and everything else with my heart attack that took place, then my COVID diagnosis that took place almost back to back to back. I was running out of town a lot that year. Mm-hmm. So it was, yeah. And so, I mean, actually, you know, getting up to this one, I mean, obviously we're at 19 years in doing it. I think we'd actually probably be closer to, if we stuck with it and did one every week, we'd be a lot closer to maybe 850, I guess. But because we really haven't missed a lot of shows. I mean, on a good year, we get out 40 some odd shows.
Yeah.
You know, 52 weeks a year doing these once a week, doing 40. That's not a bad, you know, schedule.
Yeah.
Not a bad time. So, yeah. And Game Hounds, that's the one with, is it Edie, I believe, that I met many a time going to Seattle and going to Los Angeles, I think. Mm-hmm. Her and I think her husband does it with her. I'm not sure. God, it's been forever since I've talked to her. It's been forever since I've seen any of these people because of COVID, you know? Mm-hmm. Been since 2019 since I've seen or spoken with time. What a concept. Anyway, welcome into the show, everybody, and thank you for giving us 800 episodes, and we intend to give you... I'm not going to say 800 more.
More is good.
Not if it took us 19 years to do. I don't think we're going to be doing this.
We're going to give you more.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
Yeah, I don't know how many more we're going to give you, but we'll give you more. So, there you go.
More than one.
Anyway, welcome into the show, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us and tuning in every week for 800 times at least. We are going to talk about what we have played, and for that, I'm going to hand it over to... the old pal RJ.
Yeah,
what'd you play, man?
I played a bit more Virtua Fighter 5. Trying to get more reps in, match knowledge of course, for the Akai leagues that I play in every Sunday. I've also played a bit of MLB The Show. I'm still working on a season in that game, and since we got the updated rosters that fans have made, mm-hmm. I can be as current as possible and still have a good time with what I got without having to buy it every single year. Even though I am looking into 2025.
When fans can make an updated roster, do they update stats too?
Stats,
and if they can,
looks,
so you can update.
You can edit a player.
Really?
You can edit a player. Changes stats, changes looks, changes equipment.
It makes sense because maybe if you want to follow along with a season, you would adjust the player stats as you go along in a season type of thing. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, the game does it automatically in a season mode play.
Oh, wow. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, if like wear and tear, you know, you're not going to have as much stamina or durability in April as you would as opposed to September. You know, you've been through 100 plus games. You're going to have a little wear down. So your stats are going to go down a bit. Things of that nature. So yeah, everything can be adjusted, and people make these customized rosters and throw them in there for on the cloud for people to pick up.
Okay,
So that's a good thing. So I've been having fun with that. Outside of that, a little bit of a Grand Theft Auto online, had a little fun with that. But most recently, I was playing. We were talking about earlier. I was playing Sniper Elite 3.
Okay.
I saw that
PS4, right?
Or PS4? Okay. PS4. Well, I saw that I still had it available on PS Plus. You know, you pick up all the free games, you know, you just say, add to my library. You don't
I know.
Anymore,
go
right?
When I look through, if you're anything like me, I look through, this works for Game Pass or PS Plus. Mm-hmm. It works for my own Steam backlog. Yeah. You know, I look through and there's like, oh man, I remember that. That's a good game. I should play that one. But then as you keep scrolling, because it's just one of those things where you don't stop at the first one you see like, hey, that's a good one. I should play that one. You don't stop at that one. You're like, all right. Mental note, let's see what else is in the library. You keep scrolling and scrolling. And eventually you get through the end of it, and you're like, well, I really don't have the time to start any of them right now. I'll come back later.
Yeah.
Or you pick something that's already installed that you didn't, you know, I'll just play some of this and then go. Mm-hmm. Me, go through my Steam backlog. Yeah, what's it? Oh, well, I don't have much time. I'll just play some Snap real quick. It's just ruined.
Yeah, in my case, it's basically, I remember that. I don't remember picking that up. When did I get this?
Yeah.
When did I pick that up? You know, I don't. That's not something I would see myself playing, but it was free, so bring it in. Why don't you?
I had a weird moment, and I know we're going off. Well, we're doing what we normally do. I had a weird moment where there's this online game called Guess the Game. I've talked about this before, the thing, and I've got it bookmarked on this thing. What is it called? Guess the Game. Guess the dot game. So if you go to that website, Guess the dot game, every day it throws up six screenshots. Well, actually five screenshots and then a GIF. And I will not call it a GIF. But so six total clues overall, and they let you guess what game is it based on the screenshots.
Mm-hmm.
And is it Torment or something. Some game popped up. I saw it. I recognized what it was, and it was like Planescape Torment or something like that. And I typed it in and got it right or whatever. And then I went to look at my library because I was like, I played that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find it in my library. It was not in my Steam library. It was a PC game. I did not play it on a console. I specifically remember playing it on PC. I also played it a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Not when it was originally released. It was still considered an old classic at the time that I actually did play it, compared to just earlier this week when I was doing the Guess the Game thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, let me, here, I'll copy that and put it in the chat room for everybody. There. So anyway, I couldn't find it in my library. I checked, I went to gg.deals because I've linked everything there. And immediately searched for the game, and it showed that I didn't own it on anything that I have. Not EA, not GOG, not Epic, not Steam. Where did I play this? That's what I want to know. I played it. I didn't play much of it, but I played it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I did it.
Someone else's place?
Nope. It was at the house. I know it was. And I talked to James about it as well, because James was a fan of it.
Someone else's account.
Unlikely. I don't mess around with that on Steam.
Okay.
I don't mess around with that on Steam. The only thing that I can think of, and the only thing that I haven't checked, actually, that I should, is that I was backing... See, this goes back to Kickstarter. I was backing Wasteland 2 or Wasteland 3. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And depending on the tier that you backed, you got some of this other guy's work. And I don't know if it was the writer... name either begins his last name either starts I think his last name starts with a P. And I cannot remember his first name. He does a lot of these fantasy, I wouldn't say novels, but a lot of the fantasy type setting stuff. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'd have to go back. I think I got it from Kickstarter. And the thing with Kickstarter is, in fact, when I was backing Kickstarter in the early days, mm-hmm. or when I was backing things on Kickstarter in the early days, you didn't get like a Steam code. You got a file to install on your computer and then play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it was. It would have been on my older computer. It would not have been on the computer that I built back in 2020. It would have been on the computer prior to that, which means it's gone at this point.
Yeah.
But I know when I played it. Anyway, when I found it on GG Deals, it was like $2.50, so I bought it. Planescape Torment 2, I think, was the name of it, and I really, really, really wish I could remember that author's name. I say author, but that writer's name, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But anyway... Yeah. You were saying.
Yeah, so it's like I was saying, my first foray into Sniper Elite, the series, because, you know, I hear you talk about it and everybody else talking about it. I saw the gameplay of Sniper Elite 5 Resistance going on, and it was getting some very positive looks.
It is, right? And it's available on Game Pass, but I still, you know, I put Indie on my PC, and I've not really gone any further than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's there, though. I could play it on my PC. Because it's on Game Pass, but I'm still like, maybe not.
Yeah. So, you know, since it's my first foray, you know, I'll play the tutorial, root around with all the options and everything, start playing the game and get through the tutorial part. And I get to an area where, if you remember 3, it's already, the action's already started. You know, mm-hmm. you're being bombarded at your placement. So you have to go. They need snipers on the wall. The guy runs in and says, you need snipers on the wall. Your character goes out there, and it's giving me the instructions on how to play the game at the top. And I get to a point where it says, take out these two enemies.
Yeah.
So it says, you know, aim here and do this. And, you know, do the instructions on how to take enemies out. Hitting the wrong buttons because I keep switching L2 for R2 because R2 is where I usually hit for actions because that's the side where the buttons
that's
are on
the trigger.
PS4 on PS4 pad, right? So I hit the wrong one and accidentally just let out a shot. But I find where the enemy is. And for some reason, I'm not taking my time with this. I'm guessing because the place is being bombarded. So I want to take this guy out quick. So I don't go through the motions of, like, setting up any special positions or anything like that, or emptying my lung, which I've heard about, which makes your shots much better.
You're more stable.
I just put the reticle on the dude and pulled the trigger, right? Now, I aimed at what I thought was center mass to guarantee a quick kill, right? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it's not a headshot. I know it's not a headshot because, I'm aiming center mass.
If you're doing center mass, it's not going to be a headshot.
Yeah, but the bullet comes out and it goes right into bullet cam, which Sniper Elite is known for, the bullet cam thing.
Yep, which usually means you got a kill.
Yeah, so the bullet comes out, and the bullet goes, for some reason, in the knee, up the thigh.
Was he sitting down?
He was kneeling.
Okay.
On a radio, giving orders and whatnot to the bombardment crew. But it goes in the knee, through the thigh, through the twig and berries, and out the hip. And if you look at the video on Facebook, I'm clearly not aiming at that area, but it says I hit it. So I don't know what's going on here. Maybe
some really nice aim assist you got going on.
I guess. Maybe if I turn it off, maybe we hit him center mass or whatnot. But what I'm liking about Sniper Elite so far is the methodical nature of the mission that I'm going through. It's not like you could do run and gun. I guess you could. I mean, you got all the weapons to run and gun if you could. But I don't think that's going to go very well doing it that way. Because there's just too many people.
I just scrolled over to your page, and I love that the thumbnail is the twig and berries. The yeah. X-ray twig and berries.
Yeah.
I'm watching you now go through, oh, man, I remember that level. Mm-hmm. I absolutely remember that level.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in there, so it's not going to be a run-and-gun thing, I'm thinking.
Yeah, and I, you know what? And from the setting of it, I expected it to be like, oh, man, this is going to be real tough. It really wasn't what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I was expecting to have to not be able to do what I... Oh, there's the Neil. Mm-hmm. All right, where's the bullet? There's the bullet. Oh, wow. Does it pop him? It does! Oh, man.
So I didn't know if that was a tutorial thing to give you a little boost and showing off the bullet cam or whatever, but yeah, that wasn't what I was aiming at, but I hit I hit it, apparently.
No, that was good. Yeah. Hopefully it stays there and the Facebook people aren't like, hey, this goes against turn that they're not, I don't think they care anymore.
The stuff y'all been letting out lately? Facebook, come on now.
I don't think they care.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So I think I'm going to have a really good time with that. And when I was looking in my library through what I had Sniper Elite 3 Ultimate Edition. So all the bells and whistles that come with that.
Yeah.
And I also had Sniper Elite 4 with all the DLC that comes with that. So could you tell me, you said you had a montage of 4, right? So you had a...
I think so. I think it's on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Or Facebook. I think it's on our YouTube page.
Yeah. So you had a pretty good time with that one, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. No, I did. I really enjoyed that. I didn't move on to 5, and I didn't move on to Resistance yet.
Yeah.
Actually, I do have 5. I just haven't installed it and played it.
Yeah, because it's on the...
Because it was on sale or something like that. Okay. The Resistance one is Resistance the 6th one? Or I don't remember.
I thought it was called Sniper Elite 5 Resistance.
I didn't think it had a number.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I was just guessing. Right? Did you ever go back to the originals? The original? The first two?
No, I never went back to them. Mm-hmm. I remember playing the first one.
Okay.
Because
3 is my first one. So,
the first one I played was Sniper Elite. And I'll tell you, this was at a time early on in my PC gaming whatever where there was no Steam.
Mm-hmm.
There was... You bought discs that you put into your drive and installed your game from there, and you put the disc in every time you wanted to play. Mm-hmm. It didn't just play off of that. And there was no Steam. There also were no storefronts. So you bought physical. Every time you wanted to buy a PC game, you bought physical.
Yep.
Thing about Sniper Elite was that it was not released in the U.S. It was released in the U.K. There was another game that I imported that did that. Balance, I think, is what it's called. Balance. It's Balance, but it's spelled with two L's. So it's B-A-L-L-E-N-C-E. You know, and you got a little ball. It's kind of like you have a ball on a track, and you move the ball or whatever. And sometimes,
Marble Madness.
It is, but there were elements of it where your ball was made of paper. So,
I think it was floaty. Yeah.
It was made of
paper, ball,
stone,
bearing, wood,
yeah, something like that. So it had weight to it, that sort of thing. So, anyway, so Sniper Elite was one that I had imported. I bought it from the UK and had it shipped over and played it. And I kept that box. That box got autographed by the team at, I think it's Rebellion.
I think it's Rebellion.
I met them at E3 once, and I said, I've got a box copy of this game that I imported from the UK forever how long ago. And can I get it signed? They said, sure, send it to us. I sent it to them. They signed it. They sent it back to me. So it was really cool to have that done. But I haven't done the last two, which would be the current one and the one previous.
Okay.
I own the one previous, but not this current one that just released.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I think I'm going to have a good time with it. Going to that first mission, like I said, and then probably going to go into 4. And see what happens with that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There it is. I think I found it. This would have been back in 2013. And it was Torment Tides of Numenera. And I'm trying to open that up to see, because this was a big deal for me. It was Patrick Rothfuss? I think that was the guy's name. We've got Frukum Duke hanging out, Steve hanging out in the Discord there. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey,
what's
now.
Up? Hey.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, I know. Yay. What did I get here? I got. Did it come with Planescape Torment 2? I can't see. Here's the weird thing, too, is that some of this stuff, where it's like, you'll receive a copy, but none of it talks about it being for Steam or anything like that, you know, on these games. Because, I mean, this is going back a ways.
Mm-hmm.
This is going back to 2013 when I pledged, and at the time, they didn't have a publisher, but in the middle of the campaign, they got In Exile to do their publishing for this game. And then there was Planescape Torment, and I have it somewhere. Anyway, Patrick Rothfuss was his name that was involved with that. So, anyway, what's going on, man?
Just dropping in, saying hi, seeing what you guys been up to. Haven't been able to really catch the show lately.
I know. If you can hang around, we're going to go to a break here and come back. You got time, or what's your time like?
Yeah, I think so. I think should the final stretch.
Final stretch. It's our first hour.
Oh wait. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. What hour am I in?
Yeah, you're in.
Next half hour. Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. Well, then we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to you, figure out what you've been playing, and talk about what you've enjoyed playing or what you're looking forward to playing. So,
Roger that.
All right. We'll be right back with more of In Game Chat and Steve. Right after this, we're in our older games week. This is a game called Loops, and you can tell it's an older game because they spelled Loops with a Z.
Ooh, extreme.
I know. Yeah. Edgy. That's L-O-O-P-Z. Loops. Anyway, this is called BGM-02. That's also how old it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have track names. It was just BGM number 2. There you go. Thank you. Welcome back again to In-Game Chat. This is music from Joe and Mac. Stone Age Skirmish. Welcome back to the show. You there, Steve?
I am.
Hey, all right, man. So what have you... I mean, it's been a minute since we've spoken. So what have you played? What's going on?
Yeah, not too much, really. I've probably been spending a lot of time on, like, three games, I think, since probably around the Christmas time.
Icarus is one of them.
Yes, I'll talk about that in a second. That's struck me by surprise.
Me too, to see you play it as much as I did. I was like, really? He's doing that one? All right.
I'm kind of obsessed with it right now. And I'm actually glad I waited, because I was a big Dean Hall fan from the days... Like, I played DayZ on and off for a long time. It, like, went through... I mean, it took forever for them to come out with a game that wasn't in early access. So I remember all those iterations early, the super bug. I remember the mod. Mm-hmm. And then they finally released it, and it got to a point where it was, like, playable with friends, where... Because it's an exhausting game to play. Like, you can't just say, hey, you know, hey, buddy, want to play this game tonight? No. Because when you launch the game, like, you start in an area that you have no idea where you are, and there's no map. There's no way for you to actually just open a map and be like, okay, you're here, let's meet here. You have to figure everything else out, like, by, you know, based on the landmarks and the terrain. Like, it's... So it takes, like, a good amount of time to figure out where you are, and then to meet up. And then the goal is all the goal was always to build a base, or build at least a place where we could hide stuff. And then our goal was to get a car and fix a car and, like, drive around the map. And I'm like, I don't even think we ever, like, I was looking my time spent in the game. It's like 200 hours. I don't think I've ever... I had a car for like 5 minutes, and then it broke, and then it despawned, and then we were like, oh crap, we gotta find another car. So, like, our goals in that game were very low as far as what we actually want to do. We didn't want to, like, raid other people or anything. We just mm-hmm. wanted to survive, A, and B, you know, kind of explore an area that we deep into the map that didn't take you 30 minutes to hike to.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now. Survival Worldcraft, or open world survival craft type thing.
Yeah, so I mean, that's basically what Icarus is now. Is they took the survival aspect and got rid of all the bugs, got rid of the zombies, and got really rid of the PvP aspect. And you start with... there was a term that I remember somebody coining, and I think I even called it in my review for the game, but it was like a dig boxer, where you basically start with nothing and have to get to a technological level that is either modern or futuristic. And, like, yeah. Space Engineers, I thought, did that pretty well, because the goal was always to just survive, build stuff, and get into space. Those were, like, the three things you needed to do. And you could actually, like, create vehicles and stuff in the process.
Yeah.
And Icarus is more like, you launch onto this planet and you have nothing. You got to, like, start with twigs and bark, create these, rudimentary weapons, and then eventually get to a place where you can hike and mine and fabricate things and keep advancing your technology until you get to, like, titanium weapon, or a weapon that doesn't break in, like, five swings. And then there's weapons you can craft. The goal is to explore the terrain. There's three different areas. There's a couple different maps now, but the map that we started on, we haven't come close to conquering, because you start in a regular temperature terrain, and there's a desert. There's a...
How big are the maps? Area. How big are the area, spaces, maps, whatever?
I don't know how to answer that, really. It's
just large?
It's really, I would say it's not as big as DayZ. I would say, because I've never gone from, like, one side of the map to the other in DayZ. I can go to one side of the map in Icarus to the other, either on, a mount or just even by walking.
Oh, okay.
So, but, that doesn't mean that it's not going to take you a bit to get there. It's just not as, it's not as big as, definitely not as big as, like, GTA 5 or anything like that. but big enough for like you to be curious about what's, you know, to the north that you haven't discovered yet and stuff like that.
Man, it's amazing. This thing released in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And even the special edition right now is going for $72.
So
the main game itself is $35 on Steam.
Right. So there's a bunch of DLC that you don't need. Like you just need the base game, and that'll get you started. And it's going to take you a considerable amount of time to consume all that content before you would even look at the DLC. The DLC is like extra things that you can craft for your houses, and I think there actually is new planets you can go on now. That's a DLC, but you don't need to get everything all at once. I think I got this for $6 on the Steam Christmas sale.
Well, I was going to say, when I look at the price history, the historical lows from the official store, which expired 2 weeks ago, the historical low on it was $8.75. So
yeah. I mean, it was a deal, and you know, you can see the hours I put into it, and I think I'm approaching, you know, exploring some of the DLC, you know, where there's other, because there's a tree that you can unlock while you're going, and there's stuff that you just can't unlock. It's just,
I see the skill tree that you can unlock. Yeah, I see that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, the skill tree's fun. That's another fun aspect, is like there's four tiers. You know, the first tier is a lot of stuff that you can do with wood. The next tier and opens up with like steel. And then the third tier is more, you know, advanced. What does it go from steel to like concrete and all that stuff? And then the fourth tier is where you start actually producing electricity, and you can you know, go from there.
Okay.
But it's a blast. I love it, and you know, I think it's going to be something I'm playing for a while, because you can customize it however you want, like with your bases. You can build as many as you want of them. So if you want to build like your main base somewhere, then build like an outpost that's close to the desert area so that you can go explore that and still have a place to kind of... Oh, there's like storms that, you know, happen from time to time, like tier one through tier four storms, the tier four being the worst. And you don't want to be caught out in some of those storms, because, you know, you'll get damaged. And there's armor you can upgrade to kind of survive better and all this stuff. But it's, you know, I mentioned DayZ because it was done by the same guy who kind of started DayZ, Dean Hall. When it launched, it wasn't really to critical success. I think it was had negative reviews for quite a while. And then that's why I said I'm kind of glad I waited, because it's at a point now where it's very playable and very fun. And there's less things to worry about with bugs and less complaints that don't exist.
So it had that No Man's Sky route.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know what? There's a little bit of No Man's Sky in there.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, there's even another game that's coming out that caught my eye that almost looks like a combination of Icarus, No Man's Sky, and Space Engineers. So there's a lot of these types of games where, you know, they focus on that, starting with nothing to spend time building stuff. And I've always liked games like that. I've always liked games that are not necessarily like a simulation, but allow you to build and have the freedom to do whatever you want. It's not something set in stone, you know. So it's fun.
Yeah. What else? Anything else you've been playing along with that? That's not the only thing.
I finished Star Wars, but I don't know if we talked about that back in the...
We did talk about Star Wars, I think. Because that was, what, September or August when that came out? It was August when that came out. Yeah.
May have been.
Yeah, so I think we've already discussed that.
Well, it's kind of funny. The reason I even got into Icarus was because me and three other buddies, we were looking for a four-player co-op game, and we started Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically like, I don't know, Borderlands spinoff.
Yeah.
And we played it. We played it for like several weeks. Like we have a set night that the four of us are available to play. So like that was our game. Like every Thursday, come on, we progress. And then after Thanksgiving, the game stopped working. Just, it's broken. Like you can't join anybody else's game. You can play it solo, but their co-op is completely broken.
Really?
And like, we all submitted like 2K support tickets, and they all just blame our ISPs. All four, we're in four different states with four different ISPs, And each one of them is like, they just blew us off, like completely.
Could you find anybody else who were running into these problems? I mean, did you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, there's threads on Reddit. There's threads on Steam. Like, if you just Google Tiny Tina Wonderland's, you know, co-op broken, all these threads come up. And we were, like, searching for another game, and that's how we even found Icarus by accident. We're like, I think somebody bought it, and then, like, with the Steam return policy, it's like, if you don't like it, return it. So we got that, and we were all kind of hooked. So that's our Thursday night game now, is Icarus.
Yeah, first thing I saw with your Google search, co-op online is broken. Do they care?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously not.
Nope.
Man, goodness.
Not for something that's that old, I would say. They were probably like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, when they give up support, usually some folks will let you know, but they just said,
nah, not 2K.
Well, the irony is, like, it worked. Like, it was a working game, and then we had Thanksgiving break, where it's like, okay, Thursday night, everybody's doing their Thanksgiving thing. We'll come next week, right? And then that week was the week that it stopped working for us. And so something happened during Thanksgiving week where it... And I mean, it's got to be something on like the shift servers, you know, on Gearbox's side. But I don't even know if 2K support talks to Gearbox about it, or who's responsible for those servers. If it's 2K or if it's Gearbox, who knows?
It's interesting that we collect the news around here, but I don't remember seeing anything come up in any of my my news stuff when I aggregate everything and collect it all for what we're going to talk about. I don't remember seeing anything. In fact, I don't remember seeing forum posts, although I'm sure I could find them, I would imagine. But yeah, that was under my radar, at least. I did not know that was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it just sucks because we were like 10 hours in to like the to the campaign, and we were enjoying it for the most. It's just a shooter. It's just something that we can just jump on and shoot stuff. And
yeah.
Some humor. I mean, it's a Borderlands. You know, it's very good. It supports HDR, so it looks gorgeous. So I don't know. It's annoying that happened to us, but just the response was very bad.
Yeah, no, it's I get it. I totally get it. So, I don't know all of whatever you've listened to, but you know, I finished up Indiana Jones the other couple weeks back, and
that was going to be next on my list if I wasn't so addicted to Icarus.
it might pull you in, depending, but for me it did, obviously, but that's because I don't have a lot of other games going on. And so, you know, that was my, you know, every time I was going to sit down and play, I was going to sit down and play Indie. And then when I finished that up, I moved over to Astrobot on the PS5, and that has been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I hear nothing but great things about that.
I just love I adore every single minute of it that I play, because every single time that I play, something new is shown off or some other new little mechanic is thrown in that just really makes it just charming, just overwhelmingly charming.
Yeah, something you're probably going to see in future games, no doubt.
So good. It's so, so good. Story-wise, you know, there's no story. I mean, it's a whatever. There's no dialogue. It's just, you know, you're trying to fix a PlayStation 5.
Look, I think you said it yourself, it's a fun-filled tech demo. But it's showing off all these features and everything that's so good in the game. Like I said, we're going to see these features in later titles.
Okay. But yeah, it's really, really wonderful. I'm on the final section, I guess you could say. In other words, I have I've gone through and retrieved the memory, the audio. This is all you putting back your PlayStation 5 mothership.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs its memory. It needs the GPU. It needs the SSDs. It needs the music. It needs the fan. And now I guess I'm getting the CPU, I guess, is the one I'm after. It's the final component of the thing that I'm going to go after here. And that's the last section I'm on. So I have probably, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hang on, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have maybe 10 to 11 more levels to play, depending on if there's something that comes after you beat the game and unlocks something else.
Some new game plus.
Yeah, I don't know. I doubt a new game plus, because you're not really leveling up yourself. But it likely could open up challenge stages, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Time trials. to try and get through it as fast as she can, something like that. So it may open up stuff. I don't know that I'll jump into that, but God, it's just been great. It is one of those, doesn't matter the day I've had, if I sit down in front of that, I'll feel better. Because it's just so charming. I say it tries so hard, but it's not really, it doesn't even feel like it's trying hard. It really takes nothing as soon as I get into the game to just feel like, oh, this is great. I got into the Loco Roco. Is it Loco Roco? Was that an old PlayStation game?
Sounds familiar, though.
Loco.
Yeah, like you were playing these little blobs that would roll around on screen, and you would manipulate the level to move them down the course, and they could be one big blob, or you could split them up into a bunch of tiny little blobs. I thought it wasn't
Loco Roco.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
06, platform game.
Yeah. And so this level, you become one of those things. You get to manipulate the level, and the music's there. And it's just, like I said, every single time they throw something in that just charms the pants off me. And it just puts a big old smile on my face. Because it's the memory not only of the game that it's trying to homage, I guess, or pay tribute to, but just how they went about to pay that tribute is just fantastic. So it was really, really good. And so I really, if you've got a PlayStation 5, if you've been playing games for a while, you will recognize a lot of these. Some you won't recognize who they are or what they do or something like that. But it's just a great game.
I'll be probably picking up a PS5 soon after all these years.
Yeah?
Yeah, so...
Now I have to ask then, what's coming to PS5 that you need to pick up for? Because, you know, Sony releases a lot of their stuff on PC now. Not day and date, obviously.
Well, you're right. I mean, so I guess I should... Yeah, like, there hasn't really been anything that I've been pining over on PS5, but Astro Bot is the game I want to play. But I need a 4K Blu-ray player. I am going to be diving back into the media.
You're jumping into physical, are you?
For movies, for film. So I've been working on a project for about a year and 2 months now. It's a personal movie theater in my basement.
Nice.
And I built my own screen.
What?
Oh yeah. So I'll post some pictures in the on-air chat.
So you're going with a projector, right?
Oh yeah, I'm going with a projector. I'm going with a laser projector. And
Those aren't too bad, man. I remember back when I was shopping around for home theater stuff, and this is going a long way back. And like projectors weren't that bad at that time. I don't know if they've changed in pricing now. I mean, they were kind of, especially if you wanted the high end, and at that time 4K wasn't a thing. Yeah. It was just, you know, your high def Blu-ray type thing, and you wanted it as crystal clear as you could get it. And some of the projectors, they were pricey, but not much more than you would be paying for a TV, which is what this would be replacing.
This will probably be the most expensive non-car, non-house thing.
I was going to say, I haven't priced them since then, and it's been that long. It's been that long ago, but yeah. And the reason I didn't go with that was because the room I was putting my stuff in was just not going to benefit from having a projector.
Laser projector, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't put it to a distance away from the wall or the screen that it would project to.
Yeah.
That would be any benefit to just not getting a big, you know, 75-inch screen or whatever the case may be.
Maybe I haven't gotten got the details right, but it's like 13. It was ranging from 1300 to 300 or something like that. I mean, it varies, but yeah. I just got to do your research, I guess, on any project like this and see what you can get.
No, that's great. What size screen you're going after?
103.
All right.
130.
Oh, 130.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Much bigger. Much bigger.
I've basically been planning this out for, like I said, a year and 2 months, and I'm very close to wrapping everything up. So
really? That's so great, man.
Yeah, and then really the only thing I need left is, like I said, picking out the projector, which I think I've picked it out, and finalizing the receiver, which I'm stuck on right now. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on what type of Atmos I want to go with, so it's just really kind of coming to terms with
what's supported. I'm surprised that you're your projector is going to be your money sink in that, given the fact that, you know, you want a good sound system, that's gonna run the bucks.
Yeah, the receiver will be up there, but it definitely won't be. It won't touch the projector, I don't think.
Really?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was curious because the receiver outside the receiver and the well, I'm not going to go into I'm not going to go into this because this is going back to 20. Oh, this is going back to 2002. No. 2000. Let's hang on.
Picking out what? What type of? What were you going with, like 5.1, or you're going?
Oh, I went 7.
Oh, you went 7.1. I remember buying a 7.1, thinking it was going to be the next thing, and there was like 12 movies that supported it. I'm like, what did I do? Like, why did I bother?
Yeah, I went 7.1.
And now, so with like Atmos just like dominate. Like you can set it up like almost anything. Kind of, it's just, I have a buddy who has an Atmos setup, and it's gorgeous. Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, I got the giant center speaker, and then I got the two tall towers for my left and right. I got the two rears in the back, and then I got two sides speakers as well. Well, you know, because you've been in the house.
Yeah,
you know how that whole thing was laid out and everything like that. Yeah, it was, and in my Denon was my receiver because I just believed in Denon at the time, and Denon was just a great company. I have no idea if they're really any good anymore, but.
That's actually what one I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at a Denon
and, oh, I'm going to mispronounce it, Onoko?
Onkyo.
Yeah. I think. Yep. Was another really, those were some really good ones. And then Blu-ray, I mean, if I say Blu-ray, but your player, it wasn't Onkyo, but there's another company that starts with an O. But their Blu-ray players are, I say Blu-ray, but their players were running in like the $800 range or something like that. I mean, it was expensive. And I can't remember the name of the company.
Was it Oppo?
Oppo. That's it. Yeah. Oppo. Oppo was like your high-end player, you know? And I mean your high-end player.
Goodness.
Are you looking at it now, prices?
UDP 203 Ultra High Def Blu-ray Disc Player. $3,967.
Uh-huh.
And 42 cents.
Yes. Ridiculous.
$4.5
I won't be dropping that for a Blu-ray player, but...
I mean, and there you go. It's a Blu-ray player. That's it. That said nothing about 4K, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Blu-ray player.
It just said Ultra HD.
God.
Almost $4,000.
Hey, man, if you're getting a PlayStation 5 for a 4K player for your projection room, that means you're going to get to play PlayStation 5 games on your projector.
Correct. And
which means,
so this won't be anything but movies and PlayStation, so there's no TV on it or anything. So it's just strictly for those two kind of functions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a movie theater setup, so it's a dark room with, you know, all the luxuries of having recliners or a couch or whatever it is yet. Yeah. And maybe a popcorn machine in the corner.
Oh, the old popcorn machine. That's how you know it's your movie theater room, when you've got a popcorn machine.
Audio transparent screen, so all the speakers are behind,
it. Nice. Good job.
Yeah. I was just about to ask, what's the first thing you're going to play or watch when you get everything set up the way you want it?
I have to break out my tub of Blu-rays because I stopped collecting probably on the aughts, so like, I don't know, 2009, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, when did The Dark Knight come out? What year was that? That was probably 2012, right?
I want to say it was
around... No, 2008. 2008,
yeah.
So that makes sense. So that was, like, the Blu-ray that I watched a ton of, so I'll probably stick that in first. But you know what? I don't have a 4K copy of that. So now I got to look at 4K copies of The Dark Knight. I gotta start there.
Yeah, the first thing that so it's odd that I can remember this, but when I got my first Blu-ray player, and this is going way back when Blu-ray was out or whatever. Actually,
that was
when
PlayStation 3 for me.
When I got my first DVD, let me go back. When I got my first DVD player, the first film I put on there to watch, because it's like, hey, it looks all crisp, it's digital. It was Ghostbusters.
Matrix, I bet.
No, it was Ghostbusters. It was Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Because, I mean, I was reading and they were like raving about how the transfer looks because it was going from your 480 to your 1080. You know, this was not your uber high def or anything like that. It was just, you know, it was real crisp and clear and it looked really, really good. And then when I got my speaker system and my bigger TV and I got my whole sound system set up, the first movie that I put in there was Terminator 2 for reference quality is what I had heard for that. And so it was Terminator 2 and then the Saving Private Ryan opening.
I remember that Terminator 2 release. Did it have the metal shell around the case?
I've got so many of those. So
not a steelbook.
No. Like it. No, if I were to go back and show you this, my Terminator 2s that I have would be the original DVD release, came in a clamshell. There was no big thing. It might have had like a chrome looking package to it, but not necessarily a steelbook thing. Then they did the Blu-ray special edition of Terminator 2 that came in the Terminator's head.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, which I have that one. Then they did the 4K release that came in the Terminator arm, and I have that one as well.
Oh, that's sick.
Eventually, if they keep re-releasing these, and just it's kind of like when you collected your figures that had an extra piece in there to build your big guy, I'm just doing that with Terminator 2 discs.
Yeah, until they give me a skeleton.
I want a T-1000 out of parts of DVD players or DVDs that I bought with a thing. So yeah,
no, Model 101, not a T-1000.
The Model 1, yeah. as far as your reference stuff goes for your audio and everything else, I don't know what it is now that's like the thing, but for me, it was Terminator 2, Saving Private Ryan was in there. I think The Matrix is okay. It looks, I think, better than it absolutely sounds. But now we've got so much more out there that can be your reference quality for your audio and your visual stuff. I have no idea how well the Marvel movies have held up.
True. And the thing that's going to make this a new unique experience for me is I have, you know, ceiling speakers now, which I never had before. That's going to be new.
That'll
with
be
those
nice.
Atmos speakers.
Have you looked into the D-Box?
The what?
It's the thing that shakes your...
No. Okay. No. You know what? My subs are going to do that anyway.
They probably will, but I knew it was something you could buy that you could put... You could install it on your seating, which would vibrate. It would rattle, you know, with the sound and the audio and kind of sync up to that. I never got into that.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at purchasing 2 MK5s, and if you want to look that up, you'll see what those run for. These things are going to probably shake the house off the foundation.
I miss doing this. Oh, I miss doing this. You said MK5?
Yeah. MK5 subwoofer.
Okay, that's what I was looking for, because everything is the MK5 Supra or the MK, like a car.
It's an MK5 HP, so there's a couple of them, but... But yeah, it's going to be
the the VTF3 MK5 HP subwoofer. Dude, maybe you didn't pay for it from this place. Because it's like, man, of course you're only buying one of these, right? Or you getting? You said two.
Nope, I'm getting two.
Oh my god! Wow. All right, dude.
They're about 2,000 watts a piece.
Well, fun catching up with you, even though we didn't talk about games at all. We just sat here and talked about movies.
Hey, we talked about Icarus, and then it's my promotion for it.
Yeah.
Play it.
Yeah. Lethal Migrant's like 4K Blu-ray player is like $70. You're exactly right. Now, there are quality. It depends on how much of a videophile, audiophile person you are when it comes to these things. Because when you're buying the Oppo 4Ks or some of these more like dedicated 4K players, they charge a massive rate. But to be honest with you, compared to the PS5 or some other budget, and I hate to say a PS5 is the budget of 4K players, I don't know if I'm saying something that's sacrilegious here, but I don't see a difference.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can see a difference in some of the cheap ones, but like you getting a Panasonic or a Sony, you're okay.
In the community, there's a specific region free player that gets a lot of you know, a lot of recommendations. It's like the Sony X800.
Uh-huh.
It's a 4K. It's a, it runs for about like 150.
Yeah.
And it's like the bread and butter for, you know, for the community. For the
I think, how old is that? Because I think I have one of those.
I don't know.
Because when I set up my stuff in the when I set up my stuff in the bedroom there, I actually got a 4K dedicated player because at the time nothing was playing that. Your Xbox could play a 4K disc, but you were not getting a 4K resolution. You were getting
all the bells and whistles off of that thing.
Yeah. Your Xbox and your PlayStation, they didn't do any of that, and so I had to buy a dedicated player. And of course, once I got everything else, I didn't have to worry about it. Plus, I switched. I really did a lot of switch over and got. I didn't get rid of my physical media, but I moved to digital rather than physical. I moved over to digital and just started doing that. Just because, man, it was expensive what I was doing.
And your TV had to be up to snuff too, right?
For what?
4K.
Yeah. I didn't have a 4K screen because that's what happened when I bought my 4K screen. I got my 4K OLED, and I bought my 4K.
At the time there was a lot of stuff your tech had to be it was like a PC. Your PC had to be
your
up
parts
to snuff,
got to match.
Your parts got to be up to snuff to exactly. play the latest game. Your TV and your player has to be up to snuff to play 4K now. Yeah.
Steve, I don't know if you can hang around or if you got to go, but we got to take a break here.
I got to run, but it was great talking to you guys. Hope to catch more often on Saturdays.
Hope so, buddy, while you're building your theater, man.
Yeah, I'll keep you guys posted.
Oh, please do. Give us some some more update pics when you get around to it.
Fly you guys down for the ribbon ceremony.
I would absolutely enjoy it, man. Thank you so much, buddy. Take care.
Later, guys.
See you later.
All right, we're going to be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We got music here from a game called Battle Tanks. And you know it's an old game because they spelled tanks with an X. You see a theme?
I see a theme.
Battle Tanks. It's the main theme to Battle Tanks. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. It's even got edgy music. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is music from Fighting Force.
I think I remember that title.
Track is called Army Base.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome back in. It's In-Game Chat, but sometimes we talk about home theaters. And then in the breaks, me and RJ chat about popcorn.
Well, popcorn machines.
Popcorn machines and popcorn makers and things like that.
Surprisingly
so,
affordable.
Those
big red carts with the wheels, with the... The bin and everything,
Trying to go back and remember. It was Terminator 2 that rattled my windows. Like, I could turn it up to where it would rattle my windows. I remember turning it up, finding the scene, hitting it, going outside, shutting the door, walking out to the street where my house is, and still could hear the going on with what was going on. It's great. God.
Something I was thinking about during the break as well, because you were talking about it. The movie wasn't good, but the visuals were nice. When you said Ghostbusters, I thought the one of the remake in 2016, the film wasn't good, but the visuals were.
The 3D was really good.
That'd be something to.
And that was the thing. I had a 3D TV as well.
Yeah.
So. No. It was good. Once I stopped with physical media.
Yeah.
I really. I think one of the last 3D films that I bought was probably Battle Angel.
Okay. You remember that, right?
Yeah.
The Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, Battle Angel Alita.
Yeah. I got the 3D version of that. It's one of the last 3D version films, I think.
They make a sequel to that, did they?
No, he talked about it, though, and they still seem to want to do that, but nothing yet. So yeah. They're supposed to, because I believe they left it open to do that in order to follow the manga?
Manga, yeah.
So, anyway, welcome back into the show. We are going to talk video games, and I guess we should start talking about what happened over the last 24 hours, which was PlayStation Network. Crap the bed, as it were. So, the only thing we got was from PlayStation themselves saying, we are aware some users might currently be experiencing issues with PSN. For more details, and they sent a link. And that was it. They didn't say anything else.
Mm-hmm.
However, this was this morning at 11-something a.m. where it was still down. It was down over a period of at least 12 hours, probably 15 hours and counting at the time of this post. So it had been down for 15 hours and counting. By most accounts, however, I believe it is, and I don't mean most accounts like PlayStation accounts, I just mean by most witnesses, we could say that it is back up and working again. But it was down for a while. So, we've been there before. It's not the great PlayStation outage of 2011, where they actually compensated us with free games.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it was down. But no reason as to why. We have no clue as to why that was. So, anyway, it's back working now, and people can play their games. I say that, not really necessarily knowing if it is or not, for everyone. Mm-hmm. I think some people were saying, some of it's working, some of it's not. It started to slowly come back for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the weirdest thing, because people were able to use their streaming apps on their PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need the PlayStation Network in order to log into Netflix and watch Netflix or whatever other kind of streaming app they had.
Yeah.
But in order to, if they wanted to play Helldivers, or if they wanted to get in and play, there's a beta going on right now for Monster Hunter.
Okay.
One of the Monster Hunter games has a beta going on right now, and the people couldn't get in to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I was playing with MLB The Show this morning. I mean, I couldn't get on network, but I don't need the network to play my franchise mode, so
right.
I didn't think anything of it. But I saw the PlayStation was down, so
yeah.
Don't have to play online. Just play something that doesn't require you to do so.
Yeah, another PSA for folks is that Multiversus, that fighting game from WB, that is now shutting down, or will be shutting down. It'll be removed from stores. It's just going to die here in like the next month or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's not got long left. But the thing about it is, it's free to play. If you download the software on Steam. I don't know if this applies to console. I would imagine it does. But if you download the game, jump in the game, you can redeem a whole bunch of stuff, because they're practically just like, here, take it all.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point. We're shutting it down, so we're not going to ask you to pay for it. So just grab all the stuff you can for your account, and the game will be there. I don't think the servers will be there for you to play other people, but there's bots that you can play, I think. Plus, it is two-player. I mean, if you've got somebody over at the house, you know, you can play, you know, against each other.
Party game.
Couch co-op. Yeah, totally. So grab the game. It's absolutely free, but it's about to be removed. So just, you know, put it on your account. Keep it going. And enjoy it. So there you go. Just as a heads up. If you want it. I mean, it's, you know, there's a reason it's getting removed. And it has nothing to do with copyright infringement or music licensing. It's just because it's not successful. Warner Brothers made a lot of bad steps over the past year.
Yep.
I mean, they made some good ones, too. Obviously, successful with Hogwarts Legacy in the same year that they release. I don't know if it was the same year. Was it the same year?
Of which, for Hogwarts?
Suicide Squad. Hogwarts and Suicide Squad. Which one are you looking up?
Hogwarts.
I'll look up Suicide Squad so we know when that came out.
Okay. Hogwarts Legacy says February of 2023.
Suicide Squad says February of 2024.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, Suicide Squad takes a year, you know, has a horrible year and dies. Hogwarts Legacy has a fantastic year.
Yeah.
And continues.
Yeah.
And
haven't heard too much bad about it.
Then you got Multiverses, which was here for a while, then removed, then came back, and now is being removed again, mm-hmm. with no sign of it ever coming back this time.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no plan to do that. They are getting it done. And what was another game of theirs? Mortal Kombat 1 probably did okay.
Yeah, but not to their expectations.
Not great, yeah. But, you know, it's not going to kill the franchise. They're going to keep going with it.
No.
But yeah, Warner Brothers has had an interesting time. And we got news. Mm-hmm. Did I put it in here? I don't know if I did. I want to say that I did, or at least I looked at it. We got news that Rocksteady is working on another Batman game. And single player. Do I have this in my notes? Yeah, here we go. Rocksteady is looking to make a new single player Batman game. The good news out of The good news out of Warner Brothers Games, according to a new Bloomberg report, is that after the flop of Suicide Squad, Rocksteady Studios is looking to make a new single-player Batman game. The bad news, however, is pretty much everything else. It's been a rough year for Warner. Hogwarts Legacy, huge success, but the multiplayer Harry Potter game, Quidditch Champions, did not do very well. What else? Multiversus, that didn't do great. Suicide Squad tanked. Those failures cost a lot of money. In November of 2024, Warner announced a $100 million loss due to the underperforming releases, primarily Multiversus this quarter, which landed on top of a $200 million loss driven by the failure of Suicide Squad. Gee, maybe people don't want to play your games where you just keep throwing money or asking or, you know, having them throw money at you making these live service games. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'd have thought. Anyway, the future's not much brighter, according to the Bloomberg report. Sources say the company has already put more than $100 million into the Wonder Woman game announced back in 2021, but it was reportedly rebooted and given a new director in early of 2024 and still remains years away from release, if it even makes it to release at all, because that's not a certainty at this point. WB Games Montreal had apparently hoped to work on a major update to Gotham Knights, another flop that didn't do well, but were told no. The studio eventually began work on a game based on The Flash, but that was scrapped after the 2023 film bombed at the box office. The one clear bright spot amidst all this confusion is that Rocksteady, having tried its hand at a live service shooter genre with Suicide Squad, is now looking to return to the work it was known for, and that is a single player Batman game. Honestly, I wish they would go in a different route. This is me talking now. I mean, stick with a single player, but pick a new character. You did right by Batman. You're good. You don't need to go back. You know?
At this point, I think they're scared to try.
Well, at this, yeah. I would say that, but God, I think corporate does some dumb things.
That's corporate. They're not gonna try to get as much profit as they can. And when you've been smacked down over and over and over and over again, they're gonna go back to what's comfortable. And what's comfortable is what they did with Batman. And like you said, they did right by Batman.
They did.
So they're going to stick with what works.
But it makes me wish that they would move. I mean, they weren't doing the Wonder Woman thing. Who was doing that? I think it was Avalanche. I think it was the guys that did Mad Max were going to work. No. Mm-hmm. No. It was the Shadow of War folks. I can't remember who they were.
Okay.
Maybe it is Avalanche. They were going to work on Wonder Woman, and they were going to use the Nemesis system that they brought in from the Lord of the Rings games.
Okay.
I believe. Are you looking this up right now?
I'm looking up some stuff right now.
Okay.
Untitled Wonder Woman game, Monolith Productions?
Monolith. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Is. You're right. That's Monolith, not Avalanche or whatever I was saying.
Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor.
Right.
Yeah, those folks, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. They were going to use the Nemesis system in the Wonder Woman game, which is wonderful. They need to bring that system back. Mm-hmm. It was a great system, but only two games ever used it, and that sucked.
In 2021, the company announced that they were developing a video game starring Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. It'll take 2 to 3 years to rebuild and reset to levels where we want to be at, said the CEO and president of Global Streaming and Games for Warner Brothers. But the bounce back is immediate as far as going from loss-making to profitability. So, yeah, we have a new Batman game on the way eventually at some point. The problem is, I say the problem is, who knows? A lot of the folks, a lot of the team on Rocksteady, especially some of the more, I want to say creative or influential, but some of the more experienced developers on that team, some of the guys who worked through those three Batman games, Sefton Hill is who I'm thinking of at the moment. Mm-hmm. He went off, he left Rocksteady and went off to form his own studio, and he pulled a lot of other people from Rocksteady with him to work on that, to go work on whatever he was doing at his new studio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's going to be... I have faith that Rocksteady will be able to put out another Batman game, no problem. I have faith that that Batman game will probably do great, only for the fact that it's going to be so long since we've had one, and we knew how badly we wanted one when they released Suicide Squad, and it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, boy, I wish they'd have done another Batman game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we want that Batman game, and we'll get that Batman game. Reviews might crap on it, but I think people will buy it. I have no idea because we don't know what it's going to be like. But it could be one of those things where it's like, they're trying, but it's not what it was. But people still buy it just because Batman single player.
Mm-hmm.
And they remember what that was, and they want that back. They may not get it as much as they liked it, but they'll still buy it. It'll do well. I honestly think it'll do well. And this is before we even know what the thing is. This is calling a shot a long time before. No one will remember this, which is why I'm doing it now. Because nobody's going to remember. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I want it to succeed. I like my comic book games when they're done right. And I believe those Batman games were done right.
Yeah.
So City of Heroes was done right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lethal Migraine suggested in the chat making a good Deadpool game.
Yeah, Deadpool had a game. I have it, but I never played it.
Mm.
Oh, I just got a thing from Wario's Twitter.
Oh, got a deal up?
Well, no, it was... I thought it was Tiny Tina's, but this is Tiny Terry's Turbo Trip. Never mind. I thought it was Tiny Tina's Wonderland. I thought, we're talking about whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got some bootleg.
Yeah, Tiny Terry's Turbo. Never mind. Sorry. What else we got here? We talked about the multi... Oh, yeah. So speaking of multiverses getting shut down, there were people who spent $100 on a Founders Pack for that game. How do they feel now? You know?
Bad.
There's no compensation for that.
Nope.
Apparently, the devs have called out the fact that people are making threats to them following the shutdown announcement. Get over it. Not the people who are getting threatened, but the people making the threats. Just move on. Yes, that sucks, but that's the risk that comes with what you're doing.
Yeah, any Kickstarter-funded... thing of,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime you spend money on a product, you're paying the risk of, am I going to enjoy this product? And if so, how much enjoyment? Will the enjoyment match the amount of money I am paying for it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's why you don't see a lot of day one, in my case, not a lot of day one purchases. You're going to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, you
gaming, like I said, gaming-wise, you could just wait till someone streams it on their Twitch channel or YouTube or whatever and see if you like what you see. And if you like what you see, okay, put the money down.
Right. There are some games that exist in our heads or that exist in our lives that are no questions asked. I'm buying that. It doesn't matter. Getting that.
I got some.
You know?
Yeah.
Usually they're sequels because what you played before was just so good that it's like, yeah, okay, mm-hmm. I'm there.
Yeah.
You can almost never go wrong with like a Mario game if you're into platformers or if you're into that sort of thing. You probably can't go wrong with that. You know, for me it was Burnout or Myst or any of those mm-hmm. titles, those that I've been around or that I've played, you know, religiously,
yeah.
And it's just like, oh, you're making a new one? Well, then, you know, count me in. I'm going to pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
You know? God, I haven't pre-ordered in forever. but everybody else, I'll wait. You know?
Yeah.
I'll wait. And I'll wait until
that price drops quite low. Or there's a price error, and I'll pick it up.
Or the one that comes out with all the DLC released.
Then there's Civ 7, right?
Yeah.
Civ 7's coming out next week, this week, February the 11th, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, February the 11th is when Civ 7 comes out. I'll buy that this Christmas. You know?
Yeah.
The Steam sale for Christmas. Oh, there's Civ 7 with, like, some DLCs or whatever with it. That's probably when I'll pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Down to, like, $25, $30 off of the $60 round. It may be even lower than that when you include CD or key shops and stuff.
Yeah.
So, fine by me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got to take another break. When we come back, we will hit more news coming up here in just a bit. We got music here from... All right, I think we're done with the edgy misspellings of titles. Because this is Lethal Enforcers 2. The name of the track is called The Bank Robbery. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chats. Familiar with the music there?
No.
Old game.
Is it pro wrestling?
It is, no. But it is sport.
That'd be track and field.
No, not track and field.
No.
Bad News Baseball.
Bad News Baseball.
Okay. That's what it was. Bad News Baseball. Which I don't know why it was called Bad News Baseball.
Was it based off of Bad News Bears?
I mean, if it were, there's no real reference to it in the game at all.
Mm.
You know, other than maybe the name being Bad News, but it was Bad News Baseball. I watched a bit of a playthrough because I remember really, like, I remember renting this game. I say renting when I would go to, you know, movie gallery. Let me get the name right. That or Video Express. I remember. Let me make sure this is working okay. Here we go. I think. Well, that's odd. Sorry, I'm the. That's not coming in through Discord now. I'm gonna leave Discord, disconnect, and let's go back in. And see if that fixed things. That fixed things. There we go. Okay, we're back. Just trying to get that to work. Anyway, so yeah, that was Bad News Baseball. That comes from the Nintendo era there. So I thought about it when I did it. I thought, I'm just going to go through and get a bunch of baseball games and put their music in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think I'll do that more towards opening day.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, celebrate baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So. Because there's a lot of baseball games out there. MLB The Show doesn't necessarily have a soundtrack. It does, but it's all like licensed tracks
licensed
and things
tracks,
like that.
Yeah.
So I got to go back to like old Ken Griffey Jr. baseball, Bad News Baseball being another one, RBI Baseball, RBI 2, RBI 3.
Yep.
So yeah, go back to those. Let's jump back into the news. What do we have? Let's see. We had more layoffs. 66 people laid off at Iron Galaxy. Yeah, I know. Oh, coming up on February the 12th. What is that, Wednesday? I think it is.
Let's see.
Yeah, February the 12th.
Yeah, that's Wednesday.
Yeah. The very first Twitch stream from the International Space Station will be taking place. For the first time ever, NASA will be streaming live from the ISS via Twitch. You'll be able to ask questions and talk to the ISS folks up there through Twitch and everything else. I don't think they're going to be playing any games. Be cool if they did, but they're not going to be playing any games. And I thought that was, look, I'm a space fan. I like space. And so anytime that's coming up, I'm going to be using it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be talking about it. So let's see. GTA 6 is apparently still coming this year, even though there's been rumors of delay. And we'll see if that's going to hold up.
Well, I'm expecting delays.
I mean, yeah, it's one of those things I haven't put my money on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's not one of those things where when I talk about the games I'm going to be playing this year, I don't include GTA 6 in among them.
I expect usually any AAA title to be delayed at some point during its development. So
yeah.
I'm expecting it to
especially
be delayed.
Especially something like GTA, man.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, we haven't heard a whisper since the trailer dropped, you know? Outside, I mean, there's been some, I say leaks, but, you know, there was somebody that leaked some really early footage of the game. And I mean early footage of the game, but didn't really do anything. And people were like, oh, no, or the source code was I don't know what it was. But, yeah, they've had some issues, but there's really been nothing since to know about it. There was a patent from Nintendo that confirmed the Joy-Cons do have a mouse-like functionality.
Okay.
Remember, we saw that in the trailer for it, that it might work like a mouse, and apparently that's going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
That opens up a whole lot as far as control systems go, especially when you look at games like City Skylines.
Yeah.
You know, or anything like that that's very much a point-and-click type of situation. That'll open up a new world for them. PlayStation, by the way, they also laid off an unspecified number of developers from their software division there. Steam is now offering notice for early access games that haven't been updated in months. So when you go to spend money on an early access game that hasn't been updated in, I don't know, is there a specific time? Steam has historically denoted that early access games are not complete and may or may not change further. But it's now getting more specific as to when a game was previously updated, regardless of what the developers wrote in their early access widget. Specifically, it seems to kick in if the publicly available build of an early access title has not been updated in over 12 months. So if they haven't done anything in over a year, Steam will let you know, like, this thing might be dead. They may be done with this, you know? For an example, they used Atlas, a pirate open-world game from the same publisher as Ark Survival Ascended, that was released in early access in 2018, but has not gotten an update since May of 2023. A message on the Steam page now reads, note, the last update made by development was over 20 months ago. The information and timeline described by the developers here may no longer be up to date. So, that's nice to know, I guess. Yeah. But, honestly, if I see early access, I don't jump in. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a guy that, I don't like to jump into early access games, because I feel like I'm not playing the complete game, you know? Depending on what it is, I want to start the game and go through it and play it as it was intended. Not while you're making it or while you're working out bugs or while you're adding features.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I don't know. It just, early access does not appeal to me. Betas, sure, you know? Play the game for a little while in a beta. That's fine. It's also a free thing. You don't usually have to jump into a beta. You don't usually have to pay to have access to a beta.
Right.
Some, yes, you do. But early access feels like paying for a beta.
Yeah.
And I'm not against the concept of it. It's perfectly fine, because people do buy into these things, and that's fine. It's just not something I do. But I'm not against them having early access games, because eventually those things come out of early access, usually.
Hopefully.
It's what you hope for. I got a code for a game this week called Ale Abbey. In fact, I streamed Ale Abbey a couple of months back.
Mm-hmm.
Realized 20 minutes into my streaming of the demo that I was making the beer wrong. You're a monk, and you run your brewery out of the monastery, and you provide
you know, your beer to other towns and other monasteries and things like that. You get mm-hmm. that. And so, anyway, the way that it's requested as far as, like, hey, this town needs this kind of beer, you know, and I go to the brew and I'm like, how do I... Anyway, it took me 20 minutes to figure out that I was making the wrong beer or how to make the beer. And once I figured that out, I was like, I really liked it, but I was already 20 minutes in, and so, you know, eventually I think I failed the demo, but regardless, I liked it. They sent me a code for it, and I was looking through, like, all the features. There's not many. There's very, very little there. There's no Steam Deck compatibility. There's no, like, basically, there's no achievements. There's nothing. I think there's one or two things, and that's it. But then I realized... The game's not out yet, but it's about to go into early access. So this is going to be an early access game. I didn't buy it, but it's going to be an early access title.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, hopefully they, you know, do it and release it and make it right. So, all right, have you ever jumped into early access type gaming or anything like that? Like a work betas. In progress? Betas is about it, right?
Betas is pretty much about it.
Yeah. I've done that too.
If I've ever done anything early access, it would be on. I can't recall.
Yeah. What else do we have? EA announced Battlefield Labs this week. The first details of the next Battlefield show the first piece of concept art and confirmed that some will be able to test it out early this year. We are now at that point, and EA has announced what is arguably bigger than anyone expected. The classic community test environment is evolving into the more specialized Battlefield Labs, which will once again seek feedback from players during development. Testing pre-release games with players obviously isn't new, but the CTE was designed for post-launch content and never used for the main game before its release. With Battlefield Labs, the massive team responsible for the next Battlefield, now collectively known as Battlefield Studios, will be soliciting feedback on specific areas of the project. The announcement gives some examples, such as focusing on a specific map or mode, testing the limits of a certain feature, or how something works or doesn't work. Later, players will be able to offer feedback on things like weapons and vehicles and gadget balance, meaning it's a lot more involved than CT ever was before. They said the next game, which still doesn't have an official title, is in its pre-alpha stage, which makes this particular build perfect for this sort of testing, given the nature of the stage of development. Participants will be under an NDA, so nobody's going to be able to talk about it. But they also know that impressions and perhaps even gameplay will leak out, which is necessary to build a groundswell of positive sentiments about Battlefield after years of the franchise going through the ringer. A few things in the official announcement stood out to me. There is a major emphasis on positioning destruction as a pillar of the series, which reminds me of Battlefield Bad Company that had destructible environments.
Mm-hmm.
And was more of a less serious take on the whole Battlefield thing. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Bad Company and Bad Company 2 are really good. In fact, it says, destruction has been a core component of Battlefield experience since its introduction in the original Bad Company, but its quality and the extent to which it affects gameplay have varied widely from one game to the other. And then they talk about job postings. What else we have? Battlefield 2022. Yeah. We don't know yet when the first test will begin, but considering the sign-up link was having some trouble last night, the fact that there's a queue to even log in, and how active the Battlefield Discord has become in just a few hours, we're guessing we won't be waiting too long to find out. So, yeah. And Criterion is working on this. They have put a hold on the Need for Speed franchise, which I'm not against, you know, particularly. I'm okay with putting a hold on the Need for Speed franchise because I don't play Need for Speed. If I'm playing Criterion, I'm playing my Burnout, which is something I wish they would go back to. And, you know, maybe like the folks at WB, maybe EA could be like, hey, you guys did really well with this, even though the team of Criterion does not equal the team of Criterion Burnout.
Yep.
You know, the team of Criterion 2025 does not really contain the team of Burnout 2014? Yeah. 2008?
There's been some changes since that time.
So, I know.
So, yeah.
I thought maybe it was coming when they did that remaster. I really thought maybe we were, you know, looking to that. Or maybe that was a litmus test to see, like, how's this do? Do people still want this? And, yeah. I mean, I don't know how well it did. But, it was...
Yeah, I've seen that before, the litmus test, the remaster to gauge interest, to see if we should go forward with a new project.
And when you think about it, Burnout Paradise... If I was looking at the Burnout series and I'm like, which one should we remaster? I would not have picked Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
I'd have gone to 3 or Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, I would have done 3 just because of how big... it was a monumental moment in the timeline of Burnout.
Mm-hmm.
It introduced online play. It was the first one that EA published. It had the takedown system that was in there as well that was with it, so... I don't know. That's the one I would have done as far as a remaster or a remake or whatever you wanted to do. So that'd be great if they would go back to that. I'd welcome it. So, what else do we have as far as news? Because there's really, you know, it's a lot of this is shutting down or these people were fired or this thing is coming out way late in the future. So not really a lot going on. I still haven't picked another game to play. I mean, obviously, Astrobot is the game that I'm currently, you know, working with.
Right.
But I still haven't... I beat Psychroma last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I got back in there. I did one thing. I looked at my inventory and saw an item and said, huh, I don't remember picking that item up, but I know where it goes. And so I went and I put it in there. Then it was like I had opened a door to a trap door, not literally, but figuratively, like I opened a trap door and I just slid right through that to the rest of the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where the dam breaks, like you've not been struggling, but you've been playing for a while and then suddenly you're on a fast track to the finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are passing by. I mean, you're not missing out on anything, but the story comes at you every single scene. Every door you go into, you are progressing. You know, no more of this, let me look around for items or anything like that. Once I did that one thing and got an item, I knew exactly what to do. And from there on out, right to the end.
Yep.
Yep. Right to the end. So that was not bad. It had some... It says it's horror and it says it's jump scare. And honestly, if... I was playing with all the lights off because I was playing on a Sunday morning. So it really didn't do anything. But if I was playing with like all the lights off at night using headphones or something like that, I might have run into a jump scare or two.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing really horror about it. Psychological horror, possibly for what's going on, but not for me necessarily. Mm-hmm. Music was fantastic in it. The visuals were great. It was very pixel arty. So, one of those things. And I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to jump into next. I really haven't. I sit there and I play Astrobot and I play Snap, but I don't know what's going to be next for me. I don't know what I'm feeling like.
Do you like the psychological horror?
That
genre anyway?
I'm not a big fan of horror gaming.
Mm-hmm.
I am on like... Psychological horror gaming, sure. Mm-hmm. If you can such a thing, mainly because it doesn't affect you. But I'm not big on jump scares. I don't like those when I'm gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm playing a game that's like, this is all it is, jump scares. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Condemned.
If you know what you're getting into.
Yeah. If I know what I'm getting into, that's one thing, because obviously I'll just avoid it or I'll know to expect it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is that's the whole pull of a jump scare. It's like you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
But what's the other one?
I want to say Five Nights at Freddy's.
Like Five Nights. No. Condemned, however.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Condemned on the Xbox, even though I didn't play it even though we sat around and watched James play it. I really, really enjoyed that when you're trying to solve the murders, even though there really wasn't jump scares, but it was more of a mystery you had to figure out. Mm-hmm. I like that kind of thing.
I think I played...
And there was Condemned 2 as well. Condemned 2
is the one I played.
Condemned 2, Criminal something, Criminal Origins or something.
Criminal Origins or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Sega. That was a Sega game, wasn't it?
Yeah,
or was that Capcom?
I think it was Sega.
Yeah.
Sega did that one, yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
It or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what I'll jump into next. I mean, I've got a bunch of stuff in my Steam category list.
You and me both got a backlog to go
through.
Yeah,
I got a lot.
I mean, before I started playing Sniper Elite, I was honestly thinking about going back into finishing what I started with my character in Elden Ring. I got another character I was building up in there, and I was going to work on that a little bit. And I keep saying it, I just need to go ahead and do it. Sekiro. I said I was going to start over because it's been too long since I played Sekiro and got to where I was and stopped for whatever reason. So I may as well start over at this point, so I may as well do that. And, of course, getting back into the DLC for Ghost of Tsushima. Because I bought the DLC.
There's a game I might start.
May I start that?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a game I've got it on my computer.
One of the few games I've platinumed on PlayStation. It's not like I seek to get trophies in the game. So when I actually platinum one, it's rare. It sticks out to me.
Yeah, Duke, if you go back and listen to this, Steve, I know how you are about achievement hunting and everything else. When you get that PS5, Astrobot, it's one you can platinum. So if you want to do that and get your platinum on it, you can do it. Because it doesn't require you to, as far as I know, it doesn't require you to, like, hey, go online and get this many headshots or, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's not really requiring you to do much other than play the game. There are some things you would have to do that you normally wouldn't do in the game, but the description of the trophies are easy to figure out what you need to do, and they're not hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of them is to pick a fight between two legendary fighters when you're at the crash site. And the crash site is where all the different bots that you've collected hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ken and Ryu are the two that they're talking about. So I got to go over there and just punch them.
Yeah.
Just hit them, and I'll get the achievement. And there's a bunch of little ones like that, but you have to guess what they are. Two legendary fighters, I know exactly what that is. But then there's another description of something else, and I'm like, what is that? I don't know. I'll have to go around. So, you know, but it's I should be able to platinum this.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything come across where it's like, oh, you finished this level in less than 30 seconds. Here's an achievement, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that.
Yeah.
They're being very generous with their achievements on this thing. Trophies, whatever. So... But yeah, I don't know. I'll figure something out. I was looking at the GG deals to see what I've got, or at least what's on the historical low side of things that's on my wish list.
Mm-hmm.
City Skylines 2 is down to like $17. That's a possibility. But probably not. So I don't know. I'll look through. Mm-hmm. See what's out there. I'll look through it. Anyway.
Speaking of which, let me check this out right quick. Let's see.
What you looking for?
The Operator.
Oh, I did download that. I did buy it.
You did get it?
I did get it.
Okay.
Maybe I'll play that.
Yeah.
I'm not really... I don't know if I'm looking for a short game. I'm maybe looking for something that I got to put some time into. Kind of like indie, Ghost, you know? Ghost of Tsushima.
You were doing so well.
You know it doesn't last.
I know. $14 for the Operator right now.
Oh, Lord, no. Hold off. I got it for $9.
Okay.
Yeah. You hold off on that, sir.
Okay.
Anyway, we got to run... I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Steve for joining us on the... Good luck with that build, dude. That looks really cool. And it's going to look amazing once he gets it all done. I've got all those movie posters I could... Yeah, boy, I miss my home theater.
Framed?
No, they're not... No, they're not. They're not framed. Mm. They're not.
You can still get a frame. You can still get frames for them, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Absolutely. If I decide to go that route with it. But, yeah, I don't know.
And the popcorn machine.
Yeah, there's that too. All right, folks, we got to run. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a fantastic weekend. We will see you next Saturday. I'm leaving you with a weird game, the title of which is called The Adventures of Rad Gravity. It's old, like me, and we'll be back next Saturday. Have a good week.